You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Locked On Mets is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Well, what a weekend for New York Mets baseball. Not only did they get their first sweep of the season, they did it against the Phillies at home, and they had a thrilling comeback again on Sunday night. Nick Plummer ties it up with an amazing home run to lead off the ninth. Eduardo Escobar gets the walk-off hit in the 10th. Going to talk about that game in the first segment while it's fresh. Then in the second segment, I'll talk a little bit about Game 1 and Game 2 of that series, and particularly how the offense fared this weekend and how they fared over the last 2 weeks. Then we'll close out the show today in the final segment with a series preview of what lies ahead against the Washington Nationals. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing at justbaseball.com, where I work as the managing editor. Now, so much great baseball to talk about this weekend with this Mets team, but let's go through the freshest game, maybe the most thrilling game, or not maybe, definitely the most thrilling game in this series. The first two games, for the most part, were Mets blowouts. The Phillies made Game 1 a little bit close. Game 2, a complete rout. But this third game was one where it looked like the Mets were just going to walk away with the easy sweep. And then it seemed like at one point, maybe this Mets team just wasn't destined to sweep any teams this season until we found a new Mets hero. But before we get into that, let's talk about the early parts of this game. Once again, a theme we've seen this season is the Mets get out to early leads. And another theme also, by the way, Zach Wheeler, we've seen this a million times when he was in a Mets uniform. We've seen it even more as a Philly. He'll have a bad first inning and then settle down. He'll get that pitch count under control and somehow he gets you through six innings. That was what happened in this one. In the first, he gives up a leadoff double to Louis Guillorme. My guy, man, I'm telling you, he has been killing it. And I'll talk about him a little bit more in the next segment because I want to go through kind of what the Mets offense has done over the last 2 weeks and also in this series. But he leads things off for this game on Sunday. Starling Marte gets a base hit. He got runners in the corners, nobody out. Francisco Lindor then hits what could be a double play ball if you had, you know, a competent defensive team. But instead, Rhys Hoskins kind of fumbles it in his glove, takes his time throwing it to second. Aramis to throw a bit. Yoan Camargo has to come off the bag to get it. I think he kind of gave up on it because if he maybe retreated to the bag, he could have got a force out at second. Maybe he should have thrown it to first to get an out. Instead, he chooses to get off the bag, field a throw, fire at home to try to get Louis Guillorme, who didn't go on contact, but then went on the throw to second. Guillorme safe, the throw's offline, everyone's safe. Thank you again to the Phillies' horrible defense. Now from there, Pete Alonso got a single to load the bases again, and the Mets got a couple of runs on force outs, but really, that was the offense for a while. 3-0 Mets. The Phillies got one run off Chris Bassitt, but overall, he was really solid. 6 strong innings, allowed just 2 hits, 3 walks, that one run, 7 strikeouts. You thought the Mets were just going to cruise to this game where if the bullpen could hold it, you'd get the sweep. Drew Smith comes on in the 7th, gets 2 outs, then he gives up a hit on a comebacker. And I don't want anyone to say that Drew Smith is an idiot because it was a complete reactionary thing. He's not in a moment thinking about how dumb it is to stick his hand up to try to field a ball that came off the bat at 95 miles per hour. It was dumb, but that's a reaction play, and he dislocates his pinky. I think they said he's just day-to-day, so the Mets dodge a big break on that one. But Drew Smith had to come out of the game. Joel Rodriguez comes in. He gets the last out of that 7th inning. Then he stays on to pitch the 8th inning. In the 8th, he walks a pair. He gets 2 out, and then Adam Ottavino comes on to face Nick Castellanos. And an interesting stat I saw on the ESPN broadcast after he gave up a home run to Nick Castellanos is that up to this point in his career, Adam Ottavino had never given up a home run when he got ahead 0-2. Well, Nick Castellanos seems to hit home runs in spots like that, and he does, delivering a 3-run shot. Suddenly, the Phillies have a 4-3 lead. Now, Steven Nogasek quietly pitched a scoreless ninth, so shout out to him. Then you get Nick Plummer up to lead off the ninth inning. And Nick Plummer was called up because Travis Jankowski hit the IL with a broken bone in his hand, if I'm not mistaken. He's going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks. Now, that could be the last we see of Jankowski because you have Jake Mangum in AAA, who serves a very similar function as far as their roles as players. Mangum, a great defensive outfielder, a speedster. He can do what Jankowski does, but has a little bit more pop in his bat. I think a little bit of a better hitter. I thought they were going to call Mangum. He just got called up to AAA, but I thought he could fill that same role that Jankowski could. That's the only reason why I thought Mangum maybe should be the call instead of Plummer. Not that I didn't think Plummer should get called up. I've been campaigning for Plummer to get a call up a week prior for Dominic Smith because I think Dom Smith is struggling and Plummer has the pop to maybe give the Mets a legitimate DH who can do something for this team when they haven't gotten anything from that position this year. So personally, right now, I like to see Mangum and Nick Plummer on this team, but Plummer is going to have some staying power if he continues to come through in spots like this because he leads off the inning with a moonshot of a home run. It was a home run that would have hooked foul if he didn't hit it so damn hard into the upper tank, 112.8 miles per hour off the bat. And I love that Baseball Savant has the expected batting average when you go through and you look up, you know, each individual outcome. And so you'll see, oh, you know, that line drive that went into the shortstop's mitt that had an expecting batting average of 660, things like that. Obviously, home runs, for the most part, are going to have an expected batting average of 1,000, but some of them, depending on the ballpark and things like that, you know, if you hit a little, you know, wall scraper when you're at Yankee Stadium, you might find a home run that had an expecting batting average of like 250 because it's a routine fly ball in 28 other ballparks. That home run had an expecting batting average of 1,000 because it was roped. And that really was the big moment for the Mets. I mean, granted, Eduardo Escobar comes through with the walk-off hit, but you're not there if not for Nick Plummer in that spot. Edwin Diaz did a great job holding the lead in the 10th, stranding that ghost runner. And then you get to the bottom half, and Eduardo Escobar, who has been swinging a hotter bat as of late. I know it doesn't feel like it, but we're going to go through the numbers in a minute over the last 15 days, and he has been hitting a lot better. He gets the clutch knock, drives in the winning run. Great for him. I think he really needed that. And the Mets are able to complete the series sweep. With that, they are now 32-17, 10.5 games ahead of the Phillies. To me, they just eliminated the Phillies from contention tonight when it comes to this division. I don't think that this Phillies team is coming back from this. They're 21-27. They're way out of it at this point. They just look like a team that's lost. Could they get back into a wild card mix with the expanded field? Yes. But you're looking now at four series victories for the Mets. They don't play this team again until August, and I'm sure Philly is thrilled about that. They've won 9 of the first 12 meetings these teams have had. I just cannot see the Phillies getting back into this mix. The Braves, that's a different story. But the Phillies, that's a bad baseball team. Bad defensively. And what you're seeing with this Mets team this year is by running the bases well, putting the ball in play, playing good defense, you just give yourself a chance, and sometimes you give the opposition a chance to lose a game and for you to steal one. And the Mets have been able to do that throughout the season. Tonight, Nick Plummer's the hero, but just an unbelievable weekend for the Mets. Now they want to try to carry that momentum over as they'll play the Nationals at home before a really tough West Coast trip. So the Mets have to keep the bats hot, and I think that they absolutely can against a dreadful pitching staff in Washington. I want to talk about the first two games of this series a little bit and what the Mets have done offensively over the last couple of weeks. So we will get to that in just a minute. But our next partner has a product that I literally use every day, which is Athletic Greens, because for a while I've been trying to figure out how I could get some more vitamins and nutrients into my diet and really wasn't sure where to go. And then luckily I found out about Athletic Greens, where with one delicious scoop in the morning and a glass of cold water, I can absorb 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens that help start my day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, your recovery, your focus, and aging. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews, and it's recommended by professional athletes. It costs less than $3 a day, which makes it cheaper than your cold brew habit. It's the single best thing you can do for your body in under 60 seconds. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/MLB Network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/MLB Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. In game one of the Mets series against the Phillies on Friday night, they scored the first 7 runs of the game. And that really tells the whole story. Carlos Carrasco had a little bit of a mixed start. He ends up having 5 runs earned. 2 of them came after he left when Chasen Schreef gave up a 3-run homer. So his start maybe looks a little bit worse on paper than it was when you actually watched it. He was pitching with the lead, pitching to contact and things like that. I wouldn't worry too much about Carrasco, but the Mets offense was just great again. Pete Alonso goes 2 for 2 in that game with a walk, a sac fly, a home run, 4 RBIs. They had a stat that came out before the game today that Pete Alonso has 29 RBIs in the month of May. The most in franchise history is 34 by Gary Carter. So he has a chance here to actually break that record if he has a couple of big games to lead off this series against the Nationals. Just an absolute great series and a great month for Pete. This series, Pete was 4 for 7 with 5 RBIs. They started just intentionally walking him, walked him twice in this game on Sunday, 3 intentional walks on the series, 5 walks altogether. They just don't want to come towards him right now because he's swinging that hot of a bat. The Mets did have 1 bad inning, as I started alluded to there in that game one where they gave up 6 runs, but it didn't matter. They're able to hold on to get the victory. Game two, Mets were trailing 2-1 in the bottom of the fourth. Who comes up to the plate? None other than Jeff McNeil, who hits a 3-run tank, does his little dance in the rain from Wedding Crashers. Mets take a lead. Francisco Lindor adds to it a couple of times. First, he drives in 2 with an RBI triple where he got third base thanks to some terrible defense by the Phillies. You will not see a worse relay throw. If you haven't watched that highlight, I encourage you to. It's pretty bad. Lindor then scored a sacrifice fly from Pete Alonso. He then drove in another run, Lindor did, in the 7th. Over the last 14 games, Francisco Lindor hitting .308, .422 on base, .596 slugging, 3 home runs, 2 doubles, 2 triples, 17 RBIs, 19 runs scored. He's had 2 hot streaks this season that have really carried his numbers. But here's the thing that I got to say about Francisco Lindor and whatever haters are still out there when it comes to this guy. There's 2 players that have been in every single game this year for the Mets, Pete Alonso and Francisco Lindor. These guys are driving a lot of the Mets' success. Lindor's numbers right now stack up as a top 3 shortstop in baseball. One of the best shortstop, if not the best shortstop in the National League in a lot of different categories. He's putting up career best numbers in certain categories like WRC+, walk rate, on base percentage, things of that nature. He's been great. And defensively, he's gotten so much better. Got off to a rough start. We know how bad he was throwing the ball, but he's corrected that. He's got his legs into his throws more. So now he's got the strong arm to first again. This guy's a great baseball player. He's going to be an all-star. I would not be surprised at all if he was the starting shortstop and Pete Alonso is the starting first baseman. They're one of the best teams in the National League. They're the 2 guys again out there every day. I would imagine that they are going to be rewarded when it comes to voting. So let's hold off on the criticism at this point. With the way he's playing, he really deserves nothing but praise at this point of the season. Now, looking at the last 15 days for a lot of Mets here, Pete Alonso, we'll go to him next. 14 games, 17 for 53, .321 average, .381 on base, .585 slugging, .966 OPS. He's drawn only 6 walks, surprising. A lot of them coming in that series, obviously. But he has 17 RBIs, 8 runs scored. You go to Mark Canha, he's been solid, .250, .340 on base, .726 OPS. He's just been a key cog, but not doing too much. Jeff McNeil, though, .333 average, .370 on base, .549 slugging, .919 OPS, 2 home runs in the last 15 days, 5 doubles for Jeff McNeil, 13 RBIs, hitting the middle lineup a little bit more behind Pete Alonso. I like to see them go back to that. Obviously, he was out of the game tonight, but Eduardo Escobar is someone that I think teams are going to feel a little more comfortable pitching around Pete Alonso to get to. So I liked McNeil as that, insurance there for Pete to maybe get pitched to a little bit. You go through some of the other guys, though. You've got Eduardo Escobar, .280 over his last 13 games, played in 50 at-bats. So he's coming around. He has struck out 15 times. So that's a lot of strikeouts. He's not quite all the way there, but
He's getting better, and he had the huge hit tonight. Starling Marte, over his last nine games, played .310 average, .326 on base, .476 slugging, .802 OPS. And then you have my guy, Louis Guillorme. Over his last 11 games played and 29 at-bats, he's 15 for 29. He scored seven runs, two doubles, three walks, three strikeouts. He's hitting .517, .563 on base, .586 slugging. If you expand that out to the last 30 days, he's hitting .408, .473 on base, .531 slugging. Play Louis Guillorme every single day. Bottom line, he should be your starting third baseman right now, in my opinion. And again, they mix up guys so much that it's not that, you know, set in stone. Escobar's going to get his time there as well. You could put McNeil out in left, as Nimmo's still day-to-day right now. I'm not sure if he's going to be back in this upcoming series against Washington. But the bottom line is get this guy as many at-bats as possible right now while he's red hot. I love what I'm seeing out of him. You're seeing him play great defense at second, at third, wherever they put him. He's just making the Mets a better ball club. And really, I think when you have Brandon Nimmo, Guillorme, and Jeff McNeil in the same lineup, it's just making life really hard on starting pitchers, because these are guys that can waste a ton of pitches. They just get deep into counts, and then they can have that at bat, like one of the ones late in the game tonight, where I don't even think it really resulted in anything, if I'm not mistaken. It's just going off memory. But Guillorme against Brad Hand, you know, works an eight pitch at bat and then dumps one into right field and gets a base hit. You know, did it ultimately result in a run? No, but it's still just those types of at-bats that wear on another team. So I love what I've seen out of him. I love what I've seen from the Mets lineup. Right now, they're doing exactly what they have to, which is win by your bats while the pitching is out right now. We have some good news across the board when it comes to the starters, in that Tyler McGill is throwing a bullpen. Jacob deGrom says he feels completely normal. I expect both of them to return potentially in June, more likely McGill than deGrom, because they could still play this a little bit cautious. But at this point, both of them before the All-Star break seems like a probability, which is great. So get through this stretch here. You got three against Washington we're going to talk about in a minute. You got the West Coast trip. You make it through all of that, and you're still, you know, 8 to 10 games ahead of the rest of the division. And this team could just get better and better and better as the season goes on, when you get healthier, and also when you could see more promotions where guys like Nick Plummer, we just saw tonight, and others like Mark Vientos could maybe help this team even further. Yeah, the Mets are in great shape right now. So just an awesome series where they were able to really, I think, put the Phillies at a point where they're, you know, maybe going to fire Joe Girardi, and there's questions about really everything they got going on right now. And the Mets have been a huge part in putting them in such a bad position. Let's see if they can continue to feast on the NL East with the Washington Nationals coming to town. We'll talk about that series in just a minute. But first, a word from our sponsors. Now, the Washington Nationals have not been a good team this year. They're 18-31. They're 14 games back of the Mets. They are 9-13 away from DC, 9-18 at home. So maybe they enjoy playing outside of their home ballpark. They're 5-5 in their last 10. But this is a team the Mets are head and shoulders better than. You got Eric Fetty going in game one. Fetty's been pretty good this year. A 3.55 ERA, did a great job against the Dodgers his last time out. So that's really the toughest pitcher you're going to face. But if you're telling me that Eric Fetty is as hard as it gets for the Mets, I feel pretty good about their chances. Fetty is a right-handed pitcher that doesn't have overpowering stuff. The Mets have done a great job against righties this year, and they got David Peterson on the mound. I think David Peterson has proven to be a really quality starting pitcher for the Mets this year. So I think you're pretty confident when he's on the hill, a 2.16 ERA at this point in the season. Game two, Patrick Corbin versus Trevor Williams. This is an interesting matchup on both fronts. Trevor Williams now ingrained in the rotation. I'm very happy the Mets have gone that route. Now, the bullpen is getting a little bit thin. You need to see some other guys start to step up. Colin Holderman has done a great job. Maybe we'll touch on him after we get through the pitching matchups here. He has been really solid out of the pen. But now with that Williams, that bullpen just gets a little bit tighter. But the Mets need him in the rotation right now. I think he certainly is capable of going out and giving you four strong innings at the start of the game, maybe even five if he keeps the pitch count down, and then you got to trust the bullpen to hold it. The Mets should theoretically be able to feast on a Patrick Corbin, who has a 6.30 ERA and has not been good this year. But Corbin, is a left-handed pitcher, and that has been the Achilles heel for the New York Mets. So that's going to be a game that I'm really curious about. So far this season, you look at what Corbin has done against the Mets. First time out, four innings pitched, five hits, two runs. So not an awful start. That was opening day, if I'm not mistaken. Then you have the next time out, May 10th, five innings, three hits, four walks, five strikeouts, no runs. His last time out, his last three starts since then, he's given up five runs to the Astros, five runs to the Brewers, three runs to the Rockies. So, I mean, Patrick Corbin doesn't fool anybody except for the Mets, I guess. So we'll see if they can maybe break some of that when it comes to that game. And then the last game of the series, we don't know who's going for the Nationals just yet, but Carlos Carrasco will be on the hill for the Mets. So if that is a rubber match game, you feel pretty confident with him taking the ball. Now let's just look really quick at some of the bullpen stats. Who is left in this pen that can help him right now? Colin Holderman was the guy that I wanted to talk about. Eight innings pitched so far this year, 10 strikeouts to just one walk, whip a 0.75. He's going to earn some trust. He really is. The way he's pitching and the fact that this bullpen's a little bit depleted, he's someone that I think could get some run here. You look at some of the other guys, you know, Drew Smith potentially day-to-day, that hurts the Mets. You look at the last 15 days, Edwin Diaz, his numbers haven't been great, 4.76 ERA, had a couple of rough outings. Seth Lugo's been good, 2.84 ERA. Joely Rodriguez tonight ends up giving up those runs because Adam Ottavino ends up giving up that homer, so the inherited runner score, and suddenly his ERA has taken a pretty bad hit. He went from, let's see, going into the game, he had started to cut that ERA down. It was at 3.68. And he basically added a run to it. It's now at 4.60. I think he's still throwing the ball well enough that I trust Joely. I trust Seth Lugo. I trust Edwin Diaz. If Drew Smith is available, I think he's a guy you trust right now. And outside of that, it's pretty much Holderman. And I don't know who else. Adam Ottavino has been pretty decent. Like, you look at the surface numbers, and they've been good this year, but he's given up just a ton of inherited runners, where his ERA looks a lot better than it should. So I just don't necessarily know if he's a guy in the late innings you trust. And that's a problem right now when you're talking about this Mets team, when you don't entirely know what you're going to get out of your rotation. And that's why there's so much pressure on the bats right now. But again, thinking about this series in particular against the Nationals, the bats should have no problem. You're going to be facing bad starting pitching, bad relievers. The Mets should be able to score 6-7 runs every single game in this series if the lineup continues to produce the way it has. And the Mets need to pile up wins. I said on Friday's show, get four wins out of the next six before you hit the West Coast. They got three of them. And I think now the math changed. Get five wins. Win this series against Washington. Put yourself in prime position. And then if you can play 500 ball out West going against the Dodgers, the Padres, and the Angels, you'll come home very, very happy. Anyway, that's going to be all for this edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, check out Locked On MLB, hosted by Paul Francis Sullivan, but we call him Sully. Locked On MLB is where you want to go to stay up to date with everything going on in Major League Baseball. You can follow Locked On MLB wherever you get podcasts.